talk about the Greens, that bunch of idiots.
Hey there, Climactic Collective listeners.
I'm Emerald Moon.
And I'm Tom Bella.
And together we host Serious Danger,
a podcast about Australia's broken political system and its greatest threat,
the Australian Greens.
Yeah. It's a show about green politics in Australia.
The kind of politics that puts people and the planet before profit.
We talk to cool and interesting people about fighting for good shit, like taxing billionaires,
housing for all,
workers' rights,
First Nations justice,
and drugs. Sweet, sweet, sweet drugs.
Join us on Serious Danger every Sunday. You can subscribe to us anywhere you get podcasts.
You can find us on Patreon. We're at Serious Danger AU on the socials, or just head to seriousdangerpod.com.
That's Serious Danger with me, Emerald Moon.
And me, Tom Ballard. Do you think we need something at the end there? Go green.
There's growing concern among business owners tonight. Well, there's growing concern.
Now concern is growing.
Our generations are standing on a precipice, staring into a void whose depth science does not know yet.
Hey, and welcome to Growing Concern. My name's Sean Marsh, and this is a podcast for the unapologetically purpose-driven. It's for those of you out there making a difference, shaking things up, and not taking no for an answer. It's also for anyone curious enough to see things from a different perspective. These episodes are designed for you and I to learn as we go. We'll be discussing some big challenges with inspiring people and figuring out what we can do to solve them. Every so often, I'll drop an episode that's just me sanding back the greenwash on dirty industries and sharing my thoughts on branding and strategy for ethical organisations. I promised myself I'd keep these episodes short, but it's kind of tricky, especially when there's just so much good stuff to get through. What you're about to hear originally clocked in at about 2 and a bit hours, so I've done you all a big favour and edited the whole thing down. Today's episode follows on from my chat with Nick Thorne, so give that a listen first if you haven't yet. It's a good prime of what you're about to hear. This is the last Bayside City Council ordinary meeting for 2019. It's all public record, but like most government media, it just gets lost in the archives of a website that no one's going to stumble across. So for posterity, I'm taking it down from the shelf and giving it a dust off. I was there at the time with Nick, some family, and well over 100 other people, almost half of whom gave testimony in front of the council asking them to declare a climate emergency. You'll hear from concerned citizens of all walks of life, some 9 years old, some in retirement, and a whole lot in between. Doctors, business leaders, environment groups, primary, high school, and PhD students, even ex-fossil fuel engineers. All right, let's dig in.
2019 ordinary meeting of council, the last council meeting of the year. Councillors and members of the gallery, this evening we have 44 members of the community who have been requested to speak. In accordance with the governance local law, a speaker is granted 3 minutes to speak. The time will be electronically displayed on the screen above, and after your time has expired, you will hear this sound.
Yeah, you will hear that again, unfortunately, a couple more times this episode.
I would advise that we have a long night ahead of us. If you do feel that you can keep your comments concise and bring it home before the 3 minutes, that would be greatly appreciated. I'll now invite the first speaker to approach the table, Mr. Ian McCallum. Thank you, Mr. McCallum.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm speaking tonight not only because we face an unprecedented global crisis, but also to applaud the organization's recommendation that councillors declare a climate emergency. When America entered the Second World War, they mobilized their economy to face the enemy in a way that has no real equivalent. Survival of the American way of life required citizens, government, and industry to focus their energy and enterprise toward a common purpose. Success lay in an unwavering and sustained commitment to win. Today, right now, we again face a fight for survival, just as America did in World War II. The climate emergency will require equal singular focus if we are to have any chance of arresting the havoc a runaway climate will wreak. I have deeply considered what humankind is doing to this planet and its consequences. We are laying to waste the natural order in the name of endless growth. This relentless pursuit is destroying the ecosystems that sustain life. So the question I'm asking tonight is, in Bayside, will we fight back? Because in this fight, we are all needed. The climate emergency is already affecting the lives of millions of people. In Australia, just 1 degree of warming, we are experiencing extreme droughts, floods, heat waves, coral bleaching, and catastrophic bushfires. The World Meteorological Organization points out that on present emission trends, we are on a path toward 3 to 5 degrees warming within the next 80 years. If what we are experiencing right now is at 1 degree, can we even comprehend what 3 degrees will be like, let alone 5? Australian mayors are pleading with the federal government to recognize the emergency. Former fire chiefs have sought for months to put their case to the PM. The number of Australian councils that have declared a climate emergency is currently 77, representing more than a quarter of all Australians. This includes Mornington, Frankston, and Port Phillip. We know that we are dangerously close to tipping points that will set in motion unstoppable ecosystem collapses. By formally acknowledging what we face, we can build the capacity to do what is required. Any lack of will, any sign of doubt, and we will lose this opportunity to succeed against the devastation that has already begun. I look forward to the Council's declaration and endorsement of option one. Thank you.
Thank you. There may be some questions. There are none. Thank you very much. Dr. Joe Samuel King.
I'm Dr. Joe Samuel King here on behalf of the Elsternwick Park Association. Next slide, please. Renowned climate scientist Professor Tim Flannery presented a lecture on a trip I was fortunate enough to be on. He made it very clear that we would soon reach a point where a carbon neutral economy would not be sufficient to avoid the most catastrophic effects of climate change. In fact, quoting him, we will have to move quickly, in his words, from a carbon emitting to a carbon absorbing economy. And I go on to quote, the 1.5 degree, next slide please, target is going to be exceedingly difficult to reach. It will require immediate and dramatic action, and we will reach 1.5 degrees by about 2040. The 2 degree world looks very different. With 2 degrees of warming, we'll reach, which we should reach in about 2070 or thereabouts, we'll see a very different planet. At 2 degrees, we can expect 99% of the world's coral reefs to die. At 2%, we'll see an ice-free Arctic about every decade. In his words, a 1.5 degree world is survivable, but a 2 degree world is extremely challenging. The sad fact that under the Paris Agreement, we're headed for a 3.3 degree warming by the end of the century. And of course, if other nations were like Australia, we'd be well beyond that. So we need to do two things. Cut those emissions as hard and as fast as we possibly can now, and draw carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. And he believes it can be drawn out of the atmosphere by doing two things, one biological and two chemical drawdown. That is all in the research and development phase, but we need to shift our thinking beyond a carbon neutral to a carbon absorbing economy, and we need to do it urgently. Now, creating urban forests are a wonderful way of drawing down carbon, and others will talk about the importance of that, and that, of course, is dear to my heart because of the Elsternwick Park Nature Reserve. But I'd like to conclude this evening by urging Bayside to declare a climate emergency and to adopt carbon-absorbing targets as well. Please support the recommendation in your report by voting one. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions? There are none. Just for those standing at the back, there are a couple of seats here and there's a couple of through there if you don't want to stand. There are some seats here and some over there. I'd now ask Dr. Kyle McIntosh to come, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you. I'm a pharmacist and pharmaceutical scientist by training. I'm passionate about human health and I'm a Bayside resident. There's a growing awareness and acknowledgement of the health risks posed by our changing climate. In 2015, the World Health Organization recognized climate change as the greatest threat to global health in the 21st century. Impacts of climate change on health include increased morbidity and mortality from extreme heat events, floods, and other extreme weather events in which climate change is increasingly playing a role. Heat waves in Victoria in 2009 and 2014 contributed to 374 and 167 excess deaths respectively. And of course, in our dry Australian climate, from increasingly severe bushfires, tragically so visible in eastern Australia right now. Air pollution from the burning of fossil fuels and from bushfires is a serious risk to health. We've learned in recent days that for the first 9 days of December, there was more than a 30% increase in presentations for cardiac and respiratory conditions compared to the previous year in New South Wales. Emergency physicians have also been treating rising numbers of people for anxiety and severe mental health problems triggered by the bushfires. Climate change is also contributing to health risks posed by allergenic pollens and fungi, causing such events as the unprecedented 2016 thunderstorm asthma event in Victoria, which led to a 3,000% increase in asthma-related admissions to intensive care and is thought to have contributed to 9 deaths. Also, increased risks in food poisoning with higher temperatures and risks to water quality and security and vector-borne disease from the spread of mosquito populations. The adverse health consequences of climate change are substantial and, unsurprisingly, greatest for society's most vulnerable, the poor, the young and the elderly, but we will all face more widespread harm in the future. Healthcare clinicians have been increasingly vocal on climate, with the Australian Medical Association joining many others recently by declaring climate change a health emergency. I believe it is imperative that the emergency that is climate change is acknowledged by all levels of government and that that acknowledgement is accompanied by urgent, strong action. As such, I add my voice to those calling on Council to declare a climate emergency and leave you with this quote from Victoria's Chief Health Officer, Dr. Brett Sutton. We have to ensure that the growing threats to health from our changing climate are front and centre in our thinking and actions into the future. Climate change is always in my thinking. I hope it can be in yours. Hear, hear, Dr. Sutton.
Thank you. There may be some questions. There are none. Thank you very much. Nicholas Thorne.
Thank you, Mayor. I live locally and work as an international airline pilot for Qantas, flying the 787 Dreamliner. I'm here to discuss my unique perspective of climate change I see in my job and how declaring a climate emergency would be beneficial. The problems I observe with climate change all over the world are directly related to what we do in the local community. My main office view is the Pacific Ocean. Our oceans absorb 80 to 90% of the heat from global warming and then slowly release it over time, locking us into further warming. As the oceans heat up, they expand and cause sea levels to rise. This threatens the many Pacific Islands territories that I fly over. As I fly to Hawaii, it's here that one of the main global measurements of carbon dioxide is made. They show the alarming rise of carbon dioxide in our atmosphere to the same level it was 3 million years ago. On a recent trip to Alaska, I witnessed the unprecedented amount of fires out of season. Every glacier's visitor centre has before and after shots of the glacier receding and messages pleading with the visitors to take action on climate change. In Canada, I've seen the devastating effect of the pine beetles on the national parks. The warmer climate has allowed them to spread further north. They burrow into the trees and leave them dead and dry. Recently in San Francisco, they were handing out face masks to the crew upon arrival due to the unprecedented smoke from the fires. En route to South America, we fly over Antarctica, which is double the size of Australia and 98% covered in ice. The rate that this ice is now melting has tripled in the last decade. During trips to the UK and Europe this summer, there are extreme heat waves, flooding of sea barriers, and immigration issues that climate change is beginning to trigger. Even though I witnessed these effects all around the world, they are directly related to me and my community. The way I shop, eat, throw out the rubbish, choose my electricity, choose my car investments, whom I vote for. These local actions that I make, they impact the rising sea of the Pacific Islands, the fires in Alaska, the melting glaciers and warming oceans. Our global emissions need to reverse. We need to remove the greenhouse gases from the atmosphere that we put there to stop our entire ecological environment from changing. Climate change is a global emergency that doesn't just need federal government action, but local solutions. Declaring emergencies is something that I train for at least four times a year. As a pilot, after we identify a problem, one of the first things we do is declare an emergency. The declaration of an emergency changes the communication style of all involved to a more direct one, and the decision-making process becomes more efficient. It's for these exact reasons that our local community would benefit from the declaration of a climate emergency, because the next logical question is what can we now do to solve this emergency? Thank you.
Thank you. There may be some questions. Your Honour, thank you, Mr. Thorne. Dr. Margaret Beavis, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I live locally and I am a GP with a strong interest and qualifications in public health. I wish to add to the health impacts already outlined by Kylie. Environmental threats to human health and to survival, indeed, have become increasingly evident over the last 20 to 30 years. There are many impacts, the heat-related deaths, the major mental health issues, for example, for farmers whose land is no longer viable, the appearance of diseases like dengue fever in northern Australia. I could go on. Internationally, there are island communities losing both their land and their freshwater aquifers as sea levels rise. According to the World Health Organization, malnutrition, malaria, diarrhea, and heat exposure will cause 250,000 deaths, a quarter of a million every year between 2030 and 2050. More than 3 million will die annually from fossil fuel pollution, and this number excludes deaths from natural disasters, displacement, and future conflicts over water and resources. In Sydney, the air quality index has reached 11 times higher than hazardous levels. Bushfire air pollution causes health effects ranging from minor irritation through to major respiratory failure, heart attacks, and strokes. New research has shown it worsens other illnesses such as acute kidney disease and also can cause sepsis or severe infection or make it worse. Bushfire smoke impacts, as Kylie said, on the most vulnerable, the babies, the children, the poor, the elderly and the frail, those with chronic respiratory diseases and cardiac conditions. The medical profession and the medical association are known for their conservatism, yet it is the AMA, who's joined with the Royal Australian College of Physicians, the Australian College of Emergency Medicine, the Australian College of Rural and Remote Medicine, in saying climate change is a health emergency. Indeed, yesterday, 22 medical organisations came out saying just that. This echoes statements from global medical organisations, including the American Medical Association, the British Medical Association, and the World Health Organisation. The current Australian experience of devastating bushfires and their delay and their impacts is clearly an example of the need for rapid action. The governments of all levels can show leadership to manage and mitigate present and future events and their major health threats. Surely these unseasonable bushfires, if nothing else, are a wake-up call. We absolutely need urgent action on climate. I hope councillors have the courage, strength and wisdom to support option one. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Davis. There may be some questions. There are none. Could I ask Mia and Libby to come up, please?
Dear Mayor and councillors, this is a climate emergency. Australia is currently undergoing the most dangerous bushfire season this nation has ever seen. An area significantly larger than suburban Sydney has been razed. Air quality in some areas reaching 12 times the hazardous threshold, the equivalent of smoking 37 cigarettes a day. Over 700 homes destroyed. And those in power have been denying the link between fires and climate change. We should be scared. According to the report by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, we only have 11 years to fix this, and there's a lot to be done. And yet, our Prime Minister told us that all our anxieties are needless. Just after 300,000 Australians took to the streets to protest about climate inaction in a school strike for climate. But people have already told you the facts. We'd like to speak to you on behalf of the kids of Bayside, the children whose future you hold in your hands.
I am 9 years old, going into grade four. I like playing games with my friends at recess and eating lunch with them on the grass.
I'm a 15-year-old student going into year 10 at Fairbank Grammar. I'm a part of multiple bands playing trumpet, and I enjoy singing in choir and playing chess. In the future, I hope to become a doctor like my grandfather so I can help people who are in need. But if we continue like this, no amount of trained doctors will be able to help all those in need. At only 9 and 15 years of age, we should not be having to fight for our futures. Many people tell us we shouldn't be striking from school because we should be focusing on our education. Or they tell us that we're too young to understand. But believe me, we do understand, and we are never too young to stand up for our future. We don't have the time to wait. Our voices are being ignored and our future is on the line. As Greta Thunberg said, since our leaders are behaving like children, we will have to take the responsibility they should have taken long ago. This is why we're striking.
We need change, and we need it now.
This is a climate emergency, and it should be treated as such. The federal government is failing us, and therefore local communities like Bayside need to pick up the challenge and act. Kids may make up 20% of the Earth's population now.
We make up 100% of the population in the future.
So on behalf of the youth of Bayside, we ask that you declare a climate emergency and take appropriate action.
Be leaders. Help us.
For our community, our planet and our future. Thank you.
Thank you. There may be some questions if you'd just like to have your seat there. Let's have your seat. Thank you, Mia and Libby. We have certainly understood what you've had to say tonight. Thank you. Elizabeth Jensen.
I'm speaking on behalf of Bungmorris Conservation Society, Friends of Ricketts Point, Friends of Ricketts Point Landside, Marine Care Ricketts Point and Sandringham Foreshore Association. Coastal erosion from sea level rises and storm surges is causing unprecedented loss of beaches, reefs and coastal habitat. And this results in lost and unstable infrastructure. The Victorian government is spending $53 million to try to mitigate the effects of climate change on the Great Ocean Road. Bayside Council will spend $3.5 million at North Road Brighton alone. And these figures are only going to increase. Next slide, please. And this is just the start. Australia is burning. Next slide, please. Sydney is choking. Sydney alone is bleeding $50 million a day in lost productivity through smoke pollution. In Melbourne, the Fire Brigade published last month a list of bushland reserves at risk, and I've given you a copy of those. 8 of the at-risk areas are in Bayside Council, 4 in Bungmorris and 4 in Sandringham. Next slide, please. Last week, New South Wales Environment Minister Matt Keane broke ranks with Liberal Party orthodoxy when he said, "If this isn't climate change, then God help us when it does come." And he further said, "Doing nothing is not an option." With Australia's summer forecast this year to be hotter, drier, and longer than any previously, we ask, will Melbourne be next? And how will Bayside handle this emergency? And knowing all the above, what are the legal risks to council if it doesn't declare a climate emergency and develop an action plan? Next slide, please. The community is looking to government for leadership. In the absence of national leadership, it's essential that local councils step up now. we ask you to vote for option one tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. There may be some questions. There are no questions. Thanks very much. Heidi Sharp.
Thank you. I'm currently 16 and in attendance in Mentone Girls Secondary College. And similarly to many people my age, I feel that climate change is a massive problem today and possesses a large threat to our environment and society. As a member of youth, I have experienced many acts of justice for climate change by my generation, including participation in climate strikes and frequent substitution to ethical products. But this problem clearly has an impact on everyone, which leads me to believe that if Bayside City Council wishes to continue to represent their residents entirely, that they should declare a climate emergency. The accumulating carbon dioxide in our atmosphere is making natural food less nutritious. The excess emissions are speeding up photosynthesis and causing plants to grow with more sugar but less calcium, protein and zinc. Harvard researchers say that if carbon dioxide emissions aren't reduced immediately, that nearly 175 million more people could develop a zinc deficiency and 122 million people could become protein deficient. The impact of climate change is not only evident in our environment, but also prominent in people's health. The same dirty fossil fuel emissions that contribute to the enhanced greenhouse effect can lead to respiratory diseases such as asthma. According to the World Health Organization, an estimated 70 million people die from air pollution annually. The ever-increasing climate doesn't just enhance physical illnesses, but also those that fall under mental illness too. Warm temperatures are linked to a 2% increase in stress, anxiety, PTSD, and others. As our globe continues to warm, glaciers melt, expanding ocean water, and leading seas to rise nearly an entire centimetre each decade. This is particularly alarming for Bayside residents, who may see repeats of other global incidents where those living close to the ocean were forced to relocate. This forces lower-income families to lose their inland homes to wealthier residents who were previously living in close proximity to an ocean and drives up property values. This is called climate gentrification and can occur anywhere, including the Bayside region. In order to keep the health and safety of residents at large, I ask councillors to vote for option one to ensure that no houses are affected by rising sea levels, no food becomes too unnutritious, and no mental or physical illnesses are linked to fossil fuels are increased.
Thank you. There may be some questions. There are none. I'd now like to ask Miss Flossie Sparing to come up.
Hi everyone, my name's Flossie and I'm a PhD candidate investigating the conservation management of threatened island fauna. I'm also a member of the Wilderness Society Bayside. I'm here calling on the councillors to declare a climate emergency, and I'd also like to tell you a story. I always wanted to be a marine biologist when I grew up because I grew up in Sandringham. So I spent a lot of time at the beach, after school with my friends, and for dinners with my family. And I really cherish these memories, and I'll be forever grateful for the opportunity to grow up in such a wonderful environment. So I started my Bachelor of Science on my way to becoming a marine biologist, but in my second year I realised that I had this feeling that I just couldn't put my finger on. And then I remember walking out of a lecture, just another lecture, on the impacts of climate change on our environment, and I realised that what I was feeling was helplessness. But I got over that feeling and I thought, you know what, it's okay, I'll become a conservation biologist and I'll join the other conservation biologists and we'll band together and we'll help to fix these problems that we're causing. But then I got out of uni and I went into the world and I realised that that's just not going to be enough. That what needs to happen is that everyone needs to understand and everyone needs to acknowledge that we have a very serious problem and that we need to start making changes that are actually going to help. The world is waking up to the problems that are facing our environment, and it's time that Bayside becomes a part of it as well. So again, I'm here today calling on the councillors to support the report's recommendation and vote for option one to declare a climate emergency. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Green. There may be some questions. There are none. I'll ask Mr. Henry Pride to come up, please.
Thank you, Mayor. As mentioned, I'm Henry. I'm part of the Wilderness Society Bayside, like Flossie.
And the Wilderness Society basically is a group of young locals who are working really hard to represent the environmental views of this community to several levels of government. But tonight, I'd like to take this short time to share with you why I got involved in the environmental movement, and hope that you guys can draw some similarities with why you got involved in the public service, and think of those similarities when you vote for these options tonight and in your voting, obviously, in the future. So like many people in this room, and I'm sure like yourselves, have a long affinity with the environment, especially the environment in Bayside. I love the oceans and the beaches, and one of my favourite parts of the Bayside coastline is Greenpoint in Brighton. When you sit on the cliff there, you get one of the most beautiful views. You can see the Melbourne City in the distance. The coastline sort of wraps around all the way up to the Brighton beach boxes. The ocean sort of laps up against the sand, and if you're there on the right day and at the right time, you can get one of the most beautiful sunsets in the world. The reason that I and many other people in this room and in this community get to enjoy these places is because we as a community and you as a council work so hard to protect them. Some of those beach boxes have been there for over 150 years. That coastline there has never got a speck of rubbish on it. And we're constantly investing in nature there to make sure it's protected. Unfortunately, as underlined by many people here tonight, there are greater risks to this environment and to our way of life as a community in general. Upon reflecting on this earlier this year, I realised that the small things that I was doing, such as swanning around with a keep cup pretending that I was saving the world, weren't enough. And that if in 20 years my future children ask me what I did to stop this ensuing climate crisis, my answer right then would have been nothing. That's not good enough for them, that's not good enough for me, and that's not good enough for our community. So on this basis, I implore you tonight to vote for option one, the recommended option to declare a climate emergency, not only so that we can adopt the measures that are recommended with it, but so that community groups like ours can take this and talk to other levels of government and say that this community wants to continue to protect the places that it loves. Because in 20 years, if we continue as is, it might be too late. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Maybe some questions. There are none. I'd now like to ask Mr. Joel Blacker.
Thank you, Mayor. Just last week after training, I had a conversation with a handful of men I would not have previously thought to be at all environmentally conscious. The topic transitioned from the impact of diet on climate to regenerative agriculture and then ultimately to young forest versus old growth forest in terms of carbon sequestration. And I think if we're having these conversations amongst these social circles, ones not typically environmentally conscious, there is no doubt in my mind that the majority are ready for a climate emergency declaration. So as a local sportsman and as many things, I'm pleading that you, the councillors, do the right thing and vote for option one to declare a climate emergency and commit to a bold action plan that will genuinely help to ensure my future children can also have an environment fit for cricket, for surfing, or whatever freedom they choose. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Blacker. Any questions? There are none. Could I ask Dr. Rob Saunders to come through, please?
Thank you, Mayor and councillors. I commend Bayside Council's commitment to become carbon neutral, and I note in their annual report that emissions were reduced by 3% last year. Unfortunately, even if all organisations and all individuals achieved that level of reduction, we would still be in trouble. The current situation demands much more urgency. Globally, NASA has reported that the five hottest years ever measured were the last 5 years. The 20 hottest have all occurred in the last 22 years. Heat waves can be killers. One heat wave in Europe killed 70,000 people. Last year in Japan, 22,000 were hospitalised due to heat. Locally in Bayside, we are seeing heat waves that are hotter, last longer and occur more often. We all need to do more urgently, both to reduce emissions and to adapt to increasing temperatures. The good news is there are many answers. The challenge is that we need to embrace them all. It's good to see work on an urban forest strategy. This is an important part of adapting to climate change because enough of the right trees in the right places can cool our hottest days by up to 10 degrees. Trees also make our streets more walkable, helping reduce vehicle-based emissions. And of course, trees also directly remove carbon dioxide from the air. They're one of the few things it does. But we urgently need better protection for our existing canopy trees. The most valuable trees are the ones we already have that are large and healthy with a long useful life expectancy. In relation to private land, we need positive incentives to retain good canopy trees as well as stronger penalties for their inappropriate removal. We also need to stop creating hard, impermeable surfaces everywhere. They retain heat and radiate it back at night. They stop moisture from soaking into the ground and they increase runoff into drains. We are wasting a precious resource and the soils beneath our suburbs are becoming deserts. We need a more integrated approach of climate-sensitive urban design. In this climate emergency, we need council to lead and lead strongly. Please vote for option one in the report before you. Thank you.
There may be some questions. There are none. Thank you, Dr. Saunders. Could I now ask Mr. Alan Pears, AM, please? Thank you.
I'm Alan Pears, a member of the Bayside Climate Change Action Group. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. I'd like to acknowledge first that the Council has been making significant efforts to cut emissions and adapt to climate change, but we must shift to a new level. I've been on a 40-year journey on clean energy and climate action. It started with co-writing a book in 1978 called Seeds for Change, Creatively Confronting the Energy Crisis. Those were the days. Since then, I've developed and implemented policies, regulations, rating schemes, household information materials, and indeed even resources such as this manual for local government and energy. But my actions and those of many others, including Bayside Council, have not been enough. We've run out of time. Information materials, strategy documents, good intentions and modest actions have fallen short. We must act to slash carbon emissions and adapt to frightening changes in climate. Declaring a climate emergency underpins appropriate and necessary action. We must heed the lessons of history. In 2006, Jared Diamond wrote a powerful book called Collapse, in which he explored the reasons for the collapse of many societies and the success of a few. Diamond's explanations of failure to solve critical problems included too little effort too late, attempted solutions that backfired, and delay in response for reasons such as disagreement over knowledge or priorities, lack of effective leadership, or other institutional and cultural weaknesses. We cannot afford to repeat these failures at a global level, which is where we're headed. Council can act within its own activities by supporting action by Bayside residents and businesses, by advocating to state and federal governments, and by setting an example. And I and many other people would like to help you. Option one, declaring a climate emergency, is an important step. It gives us permission and creates a clear responsibility for all of us to act on climate change now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Pears. There may be some questions. There are no questions. Ms. Danielle King.
Thank you. Thank you to the Bayside Climate Crisis Action Group for organising this opportunity to speak and to the Bayside Council and Mayor for listening. My name's Danielle King. I'm a local business owner, local homeowner and a mother. I'm also a highly experienced residential and commercial building and business sustainability consultant and have been working in this sector for well over 10 years. It's really encouraging to see that Council has been demonstrating leadership by, amongst other things, installing solar PV on Council buildings, upgrading street lighting to LED, and I understand you're soon to go to 100% renewable energy, which I think is terrific, so thank you. So as a ratepayer, I'm very pleased to see these actions, and I hope to see more sustainability actions and measures implemented in the very near future. In terms of the local community, many householders and some businesses in Bayside are also taking action. Unfortunately, this is not enough to curb the crisis that we're now facing. So now is the time to step up, take the hard decisions, and get on with the job of meeting the Council's stated values of being customer-focused, connected, a leader, and delivering. So, well, we're all your customers. We're all connected to the climate crisis, and we now ask you to lead and deliver more action on climate through declaring a climate emergency. Through that, we could work to expedite action and work together to do things such as put sustainability and carbon neutrality front and centre of all policy and planning decisions, establish a readily accessible advisory panel, run education sessions, offer assessments and assistance to businesses and householders, do things like set up some best practices, consider bulk buy schemes for things like solar. We could strengthen the planning and building requirements in terms of sustainability and efficiency, or do something like fast-track approvals and for highly sustainable and efficient properties and projects. So as you will already know, well over 11,000 scientists from around the world, thousands of businesses, many industry bodies, and over 78 local councils in Australia, including several of our neighbours and even Frankston, have declared a climate emergency. Doing so helps us to provide focus and urgency. So on behalf of my family and the residents of Bayside, and for our future, I ask you please to act now. Please declare a climate emergency and vote for option one in the report before you. Thank you.
Thank you. There may be some questions. There are no questions. I now ask Mr. Tim Forsey to come forward, please.
Thank you, Mayor, for the opportunity to speak. I'm a chemical engineer. I used to work in fossil fuels. In the early 1990s, when I was working in Texas with ExxonMobil, that was the first time we discussed global warming. And we thought about, was there anything we could do about it? Later in the first decade of this century, I was working with BHP's oil and gas division. Many times we discussed if there was anything we should do about climate change. Finally, 10 years ago, I stopped working in fossil fuels. I realized as a chemical engineer that, like some mad scientist, we're conducting a massive, uncontrolled chemistry and physics experiment on our Earth, our only home. Today, I help people to get their homes off fossil fuels, off of gas. Preparing this speech reminds me, visiting people in homes, advising on energy, I started doing this with a volunteer program coordinated right here between the Bayside Council and the Bayside Climate Change Action Group back in 2007. This photo is the human sign organized by BCAG on the Sandringham Beach that same year. And also on that day, Bayside Council organized an excellent sustainable living festival up on the foreshore. In 2007, Bayside was leading the way on climate action. Next slide, please. Next slide. After I left fossil fuels, I was fortunate to do some home economics research with Melbourne Uni. We found people can save money by switching off fossil gas and instead heating their homes with reverse cycle air conditioners. Who knew? These are air source heat pumps that capture free renewable heat from the thin air outside your house. Free heat is free. You won't find a better deal than that. Reducing energy bills by thousands of dollars is possible if people set up their homes as all electric from the start or progressively retrofit their way along or do something as simple as next winter finding the heat button on their air conditioner. To spread the word, I started a Facebook group you can see here called My Efficient Electric Home. The group has 10,000 members. Every day we help each other to improve our homes. But our group is only 10,000 members. We don't have 10 million members. We need help from councils across Victoria, like Bayside, spreading the word about money-saving things we all can do to switch off fossil fuels and switch on renewable energy at emergency speed. We don't have another decade to waste, and we can't leave this heavy lifting to a Facebook group. By declaring a climate emergency and after that taking practical action, Bayside Council. You can help people make their homes healthier, more comfortable, to save money, to stop using fossil fuels, and to help us all avoid the worst impacts of climate breakdown. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Percy. There might be some questions. There are none. I'd now like to ask Mr. David Rothfield, please.
With your permission, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Jamie Patterson at number 20 has agreed to change places with me.
Granted.
Dear councillors, you've heard from many other passionate and erudite speakers on this matter, so I won't take much more of your time, but I'm adding another voice, but also as a spokesperson for community not-for-profit group Beaumaris Modern, I represent over 300 local members. Councillors, this may be the most important item that you discuss and determine during this period of council. For some of you who have been on council for a very long time, this may be the most important decision you make in your entire council career. Why? Because climate change is the greatest threat that we face. 1,252 jurisdictions around the world have declared a climate emergency. That represents 798 million citizens. In Australia alone, 77 jurisdictions representing one quarter of our population have declared a climate emergency. Tonight you've heard evidence and arguments from a broad cross-section of our community, including mums and dads, children, scientists, business people, engineers, health experts, and our amazing youth. So please lead our community forward on this important matter and resolve option one, declare a climate emergency.
Thank you very much. There may be some questions. There are none. I'll ask Mr. Gregory Meir to come forward, please. Mr. Meir. Thank you, Mr. Meir. Take your time.
Thank you, councillors. I haven't prepared any notes for tonight because I don't think you need to. Mr. Patterson was right. This is one of the most important matters that you will ever be called upon to deal with, and not just in this term of council, but for good. Although the future, no doubt, will hold others that hold more importance with where we're going. I'm talking to you on behalf of my 12-year-old boy, Jesse. I feel fear for him. I feel guilt, whether placed well or not, that he will grow up in a world that, if we don't do something very quickly about it, will be untenable. He's scared of it. His school children, mates, are scared of it. They understand it. They learn about it. And at this stage, they can't do anything about it. We can, and we must. We have one chance to get this right. We don't get it right quickly. We're in a hell of a lot of trouble. I wake up at 2, 3 in the morning reading everything I can get my eyes onto in detail about this subject matter to inform myself. The more I read, the scarier it gets. The longer it goes, the clearer the science gets. And what amazes me is the clearer the science gets, the more stupid higher levels of government seem to get. Thankfully, we have a government local to us that listens to us, and I mean that, and represents our interests. So, Council, please vote in favour of option one. Protect our children and your children. Protect us and make us proud. We will follow.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. David Rothfield.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The country is on fire, yet our political leadership has its head in the sand. The government uses accounting tricks to convince the Australian public that we are meeting our climate targets. Yet our emissions are rising. The atmosphere keeps warming. The soil keeps drying. And yes, our home is on fire. So we must act as we must act in an emergency. Speaking last week at the UN climate talks, Greta Thunberg said that the talk should be about finding holistic solutions, but instead it seems to have turned into some kind of opportunity for countries to negotiate loopholes and to avoid raising their ambition. As the talks wound down, UN Secretary General Guterres said, and I quote, "The general public and civil society must tell their government that the climate emergency is now. Tell your government to act now," he said. Australia's Professor Ross Garnaut said last week that the fog of Australian politics on climate change has obscured a fateful reality. Australia has the potential to be an economic superpower of the future carbon world, of the post-carbon world. Yet we are moving the other way. We are sleepwalking towards a cliff. Governments are failing us. So we, the people of Bayside, through a range of community groups that you've heard from this evening, have come to you, the level of government closest to the people, and we appeal to you. Do not fail us. We want to see real action starting here in Bayside. We must set an example to others, starting with our own community. The Bayside Climate Crisis Action Group is initiating the formation of a network of community groups to work together under the name of BCAN, the Bayside Emergency Climate Action Network. BCAN will support Bayside Council in a program of community engagement that will facilitate communication of ideas on climate action and sustainable, healthy living for all. And by joining with a growing number of like-minded councils, through SECA, the MAV and other bodies, Council can communicate a powerful message up to the top of the government hierarchy to stop prevarications, stop greenwashing the truth, and help us to act. We applaud the work done by your officers in preparing the report before you. Now we look to you, the councillors, to support option one and back their recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you.
And with that final buzzer, here's how the council responded to those wonderful speeches.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to add a little to the recommendation. I'd like to move that the council declares a climate emergency and in response develops the climate emergency action plan by October 2020. And to note the existing commitments to purchase renewable electricity, purchase offsets to be carbon neutral in 2020, and continue to reduce emissions, including fleet emissions.
Thank you, Councillor Long. We'll have a second. Councillor Heffernan. Yeah. Councillor Evans.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, on Friday the 20th of September 2019, I attended with members of the then Bayside Climate Action Group, but now the Climate Crisis Action Network, and 100,000 students, and or probably more, and young people in a peaceful demonstration of support of global climate action at the steps of State Parliament in Victoria. It was an eye-opener to me, Mr. Mayor. It drove home to me the peaceful work that our young children and young adults do today. It was so pleasing to see Mia, Libby, Harnell, Joel, Flossie, Jesse, all of the young people today coming and addressing this council. Young people today feel their future is threatened by this multitude of climate change related processes. The processes that as well, and want to send a message to all levels of government. Mr. Mayor, they are determined that they want to do this, and they want to do it from the grassroots. Mr. Mayor, I think that's one of the reasons I love local government. I've been in local government a while, and many other councillors here have, and I love it, Mr. Mayor, because it's grassroots government. It's about the people. It's about how things get changed. We've heard a number of people here say about our other levels of government and what they're not doing. Mr. Mayor, some of the things that I sort of noted that in November 2019, Council received the petition from 2,268 petitioners, Mr. Mayor, about declaring a climate emergency. You can't ignore those figures, Mr. Mayor. That is what the grassroots of Bayside really want from their community, what they want from their local representatives. And if we don't significantly reduce greenhouse gas emissions, global warming is likely to reach 1.5% between 2030 and 2052. So, Mr. Mayor, we've heard from a number of people here. We've heard from young people. We've heard from experts within the... We've heard from ordinary people like me. I don't know a lot about the science of it. I've heard and learnt a lot tonight. But, Mr. Mayor, I think this is what the grassroots of Bayside want. This is just something that we can show to our politicians in both state and federal spheres that Bayside certainly wants to declare a climate emergency, but not only that, Mr. Mayor, also wants to do something about it. And the things that I was delighted to be called by Councillor Heffernan this afternoon to add the second note, because Councillor Heffernan was saying to me, look, not only do we have to say we're doing a climate emergency, but we have to say the things that we're actually doing. And I was happy to include the renewable of the purchase of renewable electricity, purchasing of the offsets to be carbon neutral in 2020, Mr. Mayor. That is unbelievable. And it's interesting, I've got the notes here, that over 840 local governments from 18 councils have declared a climate emergency. I know this, Frankston. In Australia, I did note that. In Australia, at least 76 councils have done so, and that is of Monday today. So, Mr. Mayor, I urge that councillors follow and this motion, and I'll be asking for a division once it's been debated. Thank you.
Before you close, Councillor Evans, I might just say a couple of words, if you don't mind. In my world as the mayor, I meet other mayors, and I met another mayor when I said what was going to happen tonight. It looks like it will be a unanimous vote. I got an eyes rolled. President's Cup has been in Melbourne, and I've spoken to senior politicians, and there was disdain. This is not easy. But tonight I heard Mia and Libby speaking for the little children of Bayside. I heard Joel Blacker speaking for the quiet Australians tonight. I heard Heidi and Flossie and others from the Wilderness Society speaking for our youth. And I've heard the councillors. And to Mia and Libby, I can tell you tonight, you can be proud to live in Bayside because you're living in an environmentally conscious municipality, and tonight you're going to see a unanimous, convicted and focused council. And I'll certainly be the mayor for you, and I will be like a dog on the bone for the next 11 months. Councillor Evans.
Well, it was probably about 2 months ago when David Rothfield approached me about declaring a climate emergency. And I must say, David, the amount of work your group has put in for this has been outstanding, absolutely outstanding. And the way in which you have done it has also been a credit to you and your group, and also the manner in which appeals to me as a community person is not just what you do, but how you do it. And you have been exemplary in your way. I had a coffee also with Harriet and Joel from the Intrepid Landcare, and the young people advising me about what they want to do for this world was phenomenal. I paid for the coffee. But again, it's something that instills hope with me, instills, I think, with everybody, all councillors here. I'm absolutely delighted that this, hopefully when the vote counts, you never know until the hands go up, that this will be a unanimous vote. And as people have said, it's probably one of the biggest things that this council will do. And How good is it to be a unanimous council? Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Councillors, all those in favour, for the division poll. Councillors, all those in favour.
And finally, the councillors cast their votes on whether Bayside City Council should declare a climate emergency.
Councillor Castelli, Councillor Del Porto, Councillor Evans, Councillor Grinter, Councillor Heffernan, Councillor Long, Councillor Martin. Carried unanimously.
How good was that? It still rocks hearing it back recorded. And I hope that you all heard some great pearls of wisdom from those 40-odd short speeches. The key lesson here is that people power is real, and if we want change, we can make it happen. And to prove that, 1,700 councils across 30 countries have also declared a climate emergency. If you're unsure if your council has declared a climate emergency, like Bayside, visit caceonline.org. They've got some super helpful guides on how you can kickstart your own campaign. So check out the information and the spreadsheet, and then give your mum and dad a call, your best mate from high school, your Uncle Stuart, whoever, and say, hey, let's get together and make history. To have your say in future episodes of Growing Concern, visit seanmarshdesign.com.au and leave me a voicemail. Tell me what concerns you most, any lessons you'd like to share, or questions you think I should put to my guests down the track. Growing Concern is supported and co-produced by the Climactic Collective, an Australian podcast network for the climate community. Music, production, and editing by me. If you dig what this podcast is all about, please take a second to click that subscribe or follow button in whatever podcast app you're using right now. And if you're feeling particularly generous, leaving me a rating is the best chance this podcast has of getting seen by more people. Thanks for listening.